Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Raymond Burr's Fort Laramie and an episode of Gunsmoke. Today, on Fort Laramie anyway, it's a lighter, more funny episode. You don't have too many episodes of this show that are aiming for funny, and but this is one of them. And then on Gunsmoke, we have another fun episode of Gunsmoke as well. The big thing that I forgot to point out last week was it was the very last script from John Meston, at least for quite some time, or on Gunsmoke. He had done the vast, vast majority of scripts since 52, not when it was first came out. Gunsmoke was on for probably 6 months before he really kind of took over the writing. Before that, he was in charge of continuity on the show, and but then eventually decided that he was just going to go for it and start writing almost everything. Now he's gone because his focus is on the television show, and going forward now, it'll be interesting because the episodes are by lots of different writers, but we'll get a chance to see what other writers are going to do with Gunsmoke. So I hope you enjoy them both, and we'll see you next time.
At the gallop! Oh!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, they're peaceful as can be, Captain. I just checked their camp again.
They've been fed?
Yes, sir. The men have just finished feeding them. Now, from all the records I've seen, I got the impression that the Arapaho were more warlike, like the Sioux and Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
But these Indians are... Am I bothering you, Captain?
Huh?
I say, if you're busy with something, I won't...
Oh, no, you're not bothering me, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir. About the Arapaho, I'm saying they don't seem very warlike to me.
These with us?
Yes, sir.
They're starving to death. That's why we're moving them. Now, where the devil did I put them?
Can I help you?
Not in my pockets. I thought I might have put them in something in my saddle roll.
If you've lost something, Captain, I'll be glad to help you look.
Yeah, fine. Oh, you didn't see me putting any stuff together before we left Fort Laramie, did you?
Well, you packed up when I saw you.
I'd sure hate to lose them now. Put them in at the last minute knowing we'd be coming this way.
Them, Captain?
Sure, them. They come in pairs, always kept them in a little leather pouch, and thought you were going to help me look.
Well, I was. I am, only you haven't said what we're looking for.
The earrings.
Oh, the earrings?
I think I took them out of the pouch, but I got no memory for where I did put them.
Captain, there's a little leather pouch hanging from your gun belt.
Sure, that's it. I wanted them handy so I wouldn't have to look for them.
Yes, sir. You did say earrings.
Sure. Here, I'll show you. Kind of small, aren't they?
Well, they're nice, sir. Garnets, aren't they?
Oh, little ones. Littler than that are the little chip diamonds. In real bright sunlight, they got a little glint to them.
I think they're very nice, Captain.
Yeah.
I'll bet you're glad you found them, all right.
They were my mother's. Near to the only bright thing she ever owned, I guess.
You wanted to bring them along on this trip, especially.
Sure. Don't get up this way too often. Well, glad you spotted the pouch, Mr. Syberts.
Captain
Quince... Where do you suppose I'd find Harrison about now?
He was giving the mess sergeant a hand the last I saw him, but Captain...
Well, I'll find him. Wonder if it hurts much, Mr. Syberts.
Hurts, sir?
Pretty tender around the earlobe. Bet it hurts like sin to have him pierced.
I imagine it's very painful, Captain.
Yeah. Well, that's one problem we don't have, Mr. Syberts. Harrison?
Yes, sir, Captain.
Come here. I want to show you something.
Yes, sir.
These mean anything to you?
Earbobs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, they're right pretty, Captain, but they don't mean nothing to me.
Well, they should.
I sure ain't ever seen them before. I'd swear to that.
No, you've never seen them before. I see you still wear that ring you bought. St. Louis, wasn't it?
Yes, sir, St. Louis. But that was a spell ago, Captain, and you ain't figuring to strike up a trade.
Of course not.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Mighty glad. Because I got no need for earbobs.
Oh, I promised him once, Harrison, a long time ago. You were there. I thought you'd remember.
I'm trying hard to recollect, Captain.
She took quite a shine to your ring. Stole it for a while. Then she said something about pretties not being for her.
You talking about old Hattie, what's her name?
Hattie Pelfrey.
Why, that old buzzard. I clean forgot about her. She near killed us, Captain.
And then turned around and saved our lives. This is Hattie's country, Harrison. I figure her cabin can't be more than 5 miles to the east.
I'm remembering her now, something fierce. I carried you up to her cabin. You recollect you had that bad leg?
Yeah, I remember.
There you was, shot up to a fare thee well. And that old lady just stood there with a shotgun on us. And wouldn't let me bed you down till she took every bit of food and money and guns we had.
And our horses.
Them, too. And them Injuns, dog soldiers. Why, they was coming and going from her place the livelong time we was there, bringing her food and all. She was right friendly with the Injuns.
Arapaho.
You mean these same ones we're toting over to the Wind River Valley?
They're all Hattie's friends.
And I've been over there, feeding them, seeing to the needs?
Oh, Hattie's gonna miss her friends. I thought we ought to ride over to her place first thing in the morning. Give her these earrings.
She was the meanest, most cantankerous old witch I ever saw. And she was a witch, Captain. More of that than a woman. I never in my life... Did you say ride over to her place?
Yep, before we break camp in the morning.
You mean call on her proper? Like she was a great lady?
I promised her the earrings next time I came her way.
Well, I know, but... Why, Captain Quince, she'd soon fire on you as look at you.
Oh, you're awful rough on an old lady, Harrison.
Old lady.
You coming with me voluntarily, or do I make it an order?
I tell you the truth, Captain. I'd sooner face the Sioux Nation armed with nothing but a toothpick.
We leave it sun up, Harrison. That is an order.
Yes, sir.
If you got any money on you, leave it in your ring with Sergeant Gorse. I'm riding there with these earrings and my carbine.
I I'm getting a sick feeling just knowing we're getting nearer to old Hattie every minute.
You better ease up on your talk, Harrison. We're only about a quarter mile from her cabin. Chances are Hattie can hear every word you're saying.
Probably standing up on her perch watching us, too. I got a kind of instinct when I'm riding into a body's gun sight.
Oh, Hattie wouldn't shoot at this distance.
She's got buffalo guns. They'll shoot nearly a mile away.
Yeah, but she'd have to walk clean out here to fleece us after the shooting. Hattie'd consider that a waste of motion.
Captain, you gone soft on that old lady?
She's ever bit as lovable as a polecat. But she did save our lives once, and I promised her the earrings.
It ain't that you trust her, then?
She's pure larceny and a little murder thrown in. No, I don't trust her. I'm just paying an old debt, Harrison.
Yes, sir.
Yep, that's the slant of her cabin just beyond the rise.
A man would be plumb foolish to ride straight up to a door.
Uh-huh.
The way she goes around thieving, she might have took a howitzer off an infantry regiment passing by.
She called you a ballin' calf once. I swear you're sounding more like one all the time.
Don't you fret yourself, Captain. Once we get around her, I'll be right quiet-like.
Oh, she ought to be within earshot now.
I can make out the door from here. It's open, sir.
Hattie? Hattie Palfrey?
Now, she ought to heard that, Captain.
Yeah, she should have. Come on, we'll lead our horses in.
But if a man was of a mind to get
away... Dismount, Harrison.
Yes, sir.
All right, now, keep a sharp eye out. She wasn't one to stay quiet in her cabin.
I'm looking. Don't you think I'm not? Behind every rock, every blade of grass.
Hattie! Hattie!
Maybe she's off calling somewhere, Captain.
Only life near here was the Arapaho, and they're back at our camp.
But they was one friend in particular, remember? Sent her a side of beef whilst we was with her.
Yeah, Standing Bear.
Yeah, that's the one.
He was an Arapaho chief. I asked about him from the others. They told me he didn't last the winter. Died of the cold. Sure not a sign of her around.
Miss Palfrey? You around somewhere, Miss Palfrey?
Yeah, let's go inside, Harrison.
And leave the horses?
Tether the horses. I'm going in.
Yes, sir.
Hattie? This is awful. It's filthy.
Captain, you all right? Captain!
Just a rat, Harrison. I shot it.
Oh, well, sure sounded like old times for a minute there, sir.
The place is probably full of them.
Oh, she was none too tidy when we was here, Captain. But she's let it go for fair now, ain't she?
Nothing human's lived here for a spell, not even Hattie.
Why, it's no more than a lean-to. Just crumbling. Everything's just crumbling. I wonder what's come of her.
I don't suppose we'll ever know that, Harrison. Well, we better get back to camp.
Yes, sir. She was right old, wasn't she, Captain?
Right old.
I tell you, she was a mean old critter. I didn't warm to her, and I feared her some. But I sure didn't wish her no harm.
Well, maybe you were right before. Maybe Hattie's off calling on her friend Standing Bear.
You said he was dead, Captain.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, you come to see Morby, too, Captain?
They said over at headquarters that Major Daggett was over here expecting me.
Major Daggett sick?
I don't know. Went over to his office to give him my report. His orderly said they were expecting me at the hospital.
Sure hope nothing's wrong.
Well, I better find him. How's Morby getting along?
He's fine.
His leg was broken, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's mended.
Well, I'll try and look in on him. See you later, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Major Daggett.
Captain? Lee, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, sir. But why over here at the hospital?
We can talk in Major Truck's office. You're worn out, aren't you?
Yeah, no more than anyone on the duty. 3 weeks is a long time.
Any trouble?
Move kind of slow. They were a puny lot, the Arapaho. But we left them at Wind River better off than when we found them.
Oh, that's good. In here, Lee. All right, sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
You got someone sick, Major? Mary, is she sick?
Mary's fine, thanks.
Well, then?
Lee, ever since I've known you, I've had the impression that you have no people, no family.
That's right.
Your father died just before the war.
Couple months.
And your mother?
First winter of the war.
You went home, did you, when your mother died?
I didn't hear about it for almost a month. Word moved kind of slow then. Major, what's this about?
How did you hear about your mother?
Her minister wrote me a letter. It was written in ink, and the corporal who delivered it to me wore a bushy red mustache.
All right, Lee, all right. I'm not trying to make this hard on you, but this is peculiar business.
Yeah, it is.
There's a woman down the hall. Major Trucks put her in the isolation room. An old, old woman, Lee. And she says she's your mother.
She couldn't be.
It wouldn't seem so. I don't know how she got here, but she came about 3 days ago. Whoever she is, she's sick. Awful sick. You better talk to Major Trucks about her.
You can look in on her, Captain. Let her know you're here. But don't excite her if you can help it.
You want to listen to me, Major...
Shh, please. Keep your voice down. I'll be in the ward if you need me.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Hello, Sonny.
Well, Hattie, I might have known it would be you.
You got a kiss for your old ma, have you?
I'm not supposed to excite you. My name, the only one you could think of?
You don't think I'd breathe the name of that bawling calf you had with you last we met. Besides, I figured I owed it to myself from Mr. Pelfrey to have an officer for a son.
Addie, how do you figure to get by with this?
Well, Sonny, I'm getting by with it. I don't have to figure a thing about it. Might be the light in here, but you're looking downright seedy.
You got a looking glass?
Lousy, Sonny. I'm old and sick. You just made my acquaintance about 60 years late. I was a fine-looking young thing.
Yeah, I know you were. You walked down here from your cabin, I suppose.
Rode partway. Walked. Crawled. Finally hooked on with a scrubby little wagon train.
Oh, no, you hate the army, Hattie. How come you'd make your way here?
Now, where's an old woman like me gonna go when she's ailing? Standing Bear, he's dead.
I know.
I cut that bullet out of you. Saved your hide once, Sonny.
Yeah, you sure did that.
Look on it. It's your turn.
All right. I'll do that.
Yeah, you'd best run along now, Sonny. Let your old ma sleep. I declare, I'm more thin.
All right, you sleep, Hattie. I'll look in on you later. Oh, Hattie. Hattie. I almost forgot to give you these.
Understand, I'm not calling it a miracle, but the way that old lady's taken hold since you got back, Captain, well, it's an amazing thing to me.
Oh, she's a tough one, Hattie is.
The men are giving her a lot of attention. That helps her spirit, of course.
If it needs helping.
Crapton, you're not eating much. Something on your mind?
Hattie. She takes my appetite.
Oh, I'm telling you, you can rest easy about her. She's going to make it.
She'll make it. Not that that's any cause for me to rest easy.
I just don't understand you. Sure, she claimed she was your mother. You going to hold that against her? Why, she means that as a favor to you.
She means it as a favor to herself. Look, Major Trucks, you don't know Hattie like I do. She'd pull all your teeth out if she took a fancy to the gold in them.
Sure. She puts on a big show of being crusty. But I saw through that right away. Underneath, she's a sweet old lady.
Uh-huh.
And you don't fool me much either. You think she's pretty fine yourself.
Well, I gotta get back. Oh, gonna look in on Hattie. I'll go with you.
I'm stopping off at the storage room. First trouble I've had with it in months.
Trouble?
Pilfering. Somebody's pilfering the medical whiskey.
Oh, hello, Gorse.
I just come from the hospital, Captain.
Well, how's Morby's leg, Sergeant?
He's coming along. I come directly from Mrs. Pelfrey, though. She's complaining you ain't been to see her in days.
She's getting plenty of attention.
The men are being right good about calling on her, taking little things and like that, but, Captain... Well, sir... We was always ones to speak our minds to one another.
You got something to say. Say it, Gorse.
I know she ain't your ma, but she looks on you like a son, and it grieves her that you don't show her more concern.
Hattie told you that?
Well, I guess I induced her to. I've been to see her a few times, come to know her a bit. I could tell something was, well, like I say, grieving her.
She's getting along all right, isn't she? Doing a good job of mending?
Major Truck says it's near a miracle. But, Captain, that ain't what I'm talking about.
You used to be a good judge of character, Gorse. Now, I'm not saying Hattie's all meanness, but I spent some time looking at her from the wrong end of a shotgun once, and I know
Captain,
what I...
if you don't mind, I'd just as soon not hear any more about that.
You don't believe me, ask Harrison.
Why, I listened to Harrison a while, too. But I got some stripes on him, and I can shut him up.
Mm-hmm.
To me, she's just a nice old lady who's poorly.
You off duty, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Usually can tell when you are. Thought you wore your watch and chain when you were off duty.
Well, I do. It is, I did. Now, that's funny. I swore I put that on special just before I went to the hospital.
I think maybe you're right, Sergeant.
How's that, Captain?
I think maybe I have been neglecting Hattie too long.
Come in.
Afternoon, Major Trucks. How's your patient?
I'm doing fine. No thanks to you, Sonny.
Captain, you missed the show. Mrs. Pelfrey was just up walking around the room like she owned it.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, I'll leave you two to your talk. Now, you keep walking like you did just now. You'll be out of here in a couple of days, ma'am.
to think I'm going to live to enjoy my twilight years after all.
Oh, there now, there. I don't want to see tears in your eyes.
Sonny will wipe them away. Won't you, dearie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take care of the tears. Oh, Major Trucks.
Yeah?
You ever get a line on that missing whiskey?
Her cough medicine's there on her table.
I couldn't help myself. Ooh. Ah. Goes right to the spot. Ooh.
What did you ask me, Captain?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, all right.
Well, what are you peering at?
You got a fine color, Hattie. I've heard tell of folks recovering from bad spells getting roses in their cheeks, but yours is more of a flush.
Body's entitled to a bit of tonic and a potion to soothe her throat.
I heard a bite in the hand that feeds you, but you come near to stealing it off, don't you, Hattie?
I got most the whole caboodle of them fooled. But not you, Sonny. Well, it's all right. I tried, nice and motherly like, to tell that Major Trucks I'd spark two a little whiskey now and then. But I seen he wasn't going to make the offer of his own free will.
He thinks you're a sweet old lady now. Sweet old ladies don't drink whiskey.
Well, you'd be surprised about that, Sonny. Now, me, I've been nursing my own ills for more years than I can tell. There comes a time when a nip is all these old bones will respond to.
The earrings look mighty nice on you.
Yeah, well, they don't look nice at all, but I mean to wear them. You told me there's your own ma's. I recollect that. I'm right proud to wear them. Well, with them diamonds, though, Sonny, not the size of hen's teeth, even.
I was at your cabin, Hattie. You can't go back there.
You rushing me out.
You're coming back strong. You might get an idea to steal old Bedlam or the Platte River Bridge, and we need him.
You know, I got a mind to go up, live with Standing Bear's kinfolk, Wind River. If anyone was to see, I got there safe.
I'll see you there, Hattie, when you're right able.
Well, you're a fine son, dearie. Well, best you go now. Let your old ma get a rest.
Oh, I might just want to kiss your cheek. Just to be sure you'll rest easy.
Why, Sonny, did you can?
Sergeant Gorse will be glad I found his watch.
Now, how do you suppose that got under my pillow?
Doesn't matter. Must have been kind of bulky sleeping on anyway.
I'll rest easier now, yeah. Sonny.
I know you will. Oh, the money belt you took off me just now, Hattie. It won't bother you resting none. I took the money out before I came in. Sleep well, Ma.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Sam Edwards, and Paul Duboff. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss.
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Nobody approves of slums. About 1 out of 9 non-farm dwelling units are in slum condition. And slum conditions don't stay still in a neglected house or area. Unless someone takes action, slums will grow unchecked. If you'd like to take action, CBS Radio urges you to write to the American Council to Improve Our Neighborhoods for their free leaflet that explains what everyday citizens can do to prevent and eliminate slums. Just write to Action, Box 20, New York 19.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M, the modern cigarette that lets you get full, exciting flavor through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
You got the mail, Chester?
I sure did, Mr. Dillon. And if that railroad gets any slower, yesterday's train's going to start getting into Dodge tomorrow.
Well, that's happened a couple of times. Is anything important?
I ain't had a chance to look.
What?
Well, it took Will Borger so long to get them mailbags sorted. Oh, say, he's coming over here in a little while, Mr. Dillon.
Huh? Will is? What for?
I don't know. But he's got something on his mind he's about to bust his britches over. He said it had to do with Jim Rankin.
Jim Rankin?
Well, I hated to bring it up, Mr. Dillon. You and Jim Rankin being close friends like you was.
I can't figure what Will Borger would know about Jim's murder. He never gets out of that depot except to eat.
Well, maybe he's heard something from El Paso, something over the telegraph.
There's nothing to hear, Chester, and there won't be. He was killed for that payroll he was carrying.
But they never did find the body.
Well, they buried him somewhere out there on the desert, more than likely, and then jumped the border.
They sure could get a long way south on $60,000, all in banknotes. Wouldn't be no weight to it. Wouldn't even fill a saddlebag. funny I was always joshing him about that. A full-grown man being a messenger boy for Wells Fargo. Going around carrying a little old hand case with him.
And being a target for every hold-up man west of St. Louis.
I know. I never had no call to be plaguing him. When I think of it now, I could just kick myself.
Jim knew you didn't mean it, Chester. Yeah, you know, he was one of the best. I rode a lot of country with Jim Rankin back when he was a lawman.
Evening, Marshal.
Come on in, Will. What's this news about Jim Rankin?
Just that you and everybody else is wrong, that's all.
Oh, why so?
Because all of you figured them killers must have headed south after they murdered Rankin. But they've come north, Marshal.
Oh, what makes you think so?
These. A couple of banknotes. $10 silver certificates. American Federal Bank of Boston.
Chester, give me that Wells Fargo list of serial numbers, would you?
Already checked them, Marshal. They're on the list.
Where'd you get these, Will?
They turned up in my cash box at the depot. Somebody bought a ticket with them.
Who? Do you know?
It was Miss Lily over to the Long Branch.
Lily?
That pretty one with the yellow hair. She bought a ticket on the Santa Fe to Kansas City. Said she was aiming to go back there on a visit.
Why, them killers might be right here in Dodge, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I hope so, Chester. I sure do hope so.
With L&M, can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the Pure White Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you all the flavor you want, the rich, exciting flavor you get only from L&M. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. Get L&M today.
Hello, Kitty.
Well, good to see you, Matt. You've been a real stranger the last month. Ever since I... Well...
Since Jim Rankin was murdered, huh?
I didn't mean to rub salt in.
No, it's all right, Kitty. In fact, that's the reason I'm here now.
Huh?
Is Lily around somewhere?
Well, she's upstairs, I suppose. I'm kind of surprised.
Odd what?
You. A marshal's pay won't get you far in that club, Matt. The dues are pretty high, you know.
This wouldn't be just a case of one pretty woman talking about another pretty woman, would it?
No, seriously, Matt. Didn't Jim ever tell you about it?
Jim?
Jim Rankin. You didn't know about it?
About what?
I thought you knew he was spending all his time with Lily.
No, I didn't. I'll see you later, Kitty.
Come in. Marshal Dillon.
How are you, Lily?
Well, this is quite a surprise.
I understand you're leaving for Kansas City.
I'm just going for a visit. Is there a law against it, Marshal? Or do you care personally?
You bought a railroad ticket this afternoon from Will Borgler. You paid for it with a couple of $10 notes of the American Federal Bank of Boston.
My, you have been taking an interest.
Where did you get those banknotes, Lily?
Oh, come now, Marshal.
I want to know where you got those bills.
Why, I don't know where I got them.
You don't know, huh?
Of course not. The gentlemen who come into the Long Branch are usually quite
generous. And the gentlemen who come in usually carry gold or silver. Paper money is rare and dodge, and you know it.
I don't remember who gave them to me, and what difference does it make? They're good, aren't they?
Yeah. And they were stolen from a man who disappeared from a blood-stained room in El Paso, Texas.
How do you know?
Because Wells Fargo records the serial number of every banknote they ship. And these numbers match.
Oh, but
the man's name was Jim Rankin, in case you've forgotten him in the last 30 days.
Marshal, Jim and I were going to be married.
We're going to be married?
Is it that unbelievable?
It's just that Jim never mentioned it, that's all.
He knew what you'd say.
When did you see him last, Lily?
10 days before he got killed. He went from here to St. Louis and then straight to El Paso.
Did you know his plans, where he was going to stay in El Paso, how much money he was carrying?
What are you trying to say?
I just asked you if...
Sorry, I couldn't make it any sooner.
Will you get out of here, mister? You've got the wrong room.
Well, yes, I have. Sorry, folks, I was looking for
somebody
else.
Wait just a minute. You're a gambler, aren't you? Houseman over at the Alafraganza.
That's right, Marshal. Deuce McCoy.
Who were you looking for?
Nobody. I'll not bother you folks any longer.
McCoy, you wouldn't happen to have any banknotes on you by any chance, would you?
Banknotes? I'm strictly gold standard, Marshal. I got caught with some of that worthless paper trash during the rebellion. My apologies, ma'am, Marshal.
Why are you looking at me that way? I never saw him before in my life.
Lily, if you're in the clear, then I'm sorry for misjudging you.
You should be.
But if you're not, if you did have anything to do with Jim's murder, I'll bring you in for it if it takes me the rest of my life. Three days went by, and things stayed pretty much the same. I found out Jim Rankin had told a couple of people that he was going to marry Lily. And she could have been telling the truth about the two banknotes. Maybe she didn't remember where she'd got them. But she had lied about one thing, about not knowing Deuce McCoy. Word had gotten around town that she and Deuce had been thicker than thieves for a long time. But that didn't help me. Neither one of them had been out of Dodge in 6 months. And then one evening about 8 o'clock, Kitty came into the office with the news that started a landslide.
Kitty.
Matt, there's something funny going on.
What do you mean, Kitty?
Lily. She didn't show up for work this evening, so I went upstairs looking for her. All her clothes, the costumes, they're gone. She's cleaned everything out.
You know where she lives?
Yeah, she's got a room at L.A. Grott's place, down south of the Dodge House, a couple of streets.
Yeah, I know where it is. Chester, come on, let's go.
Yes, have an L&M. Enjoy a really modern cigarette. A cigarette that gives you all the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you the flavor you get through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the pure white Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. get L&M today.
Lily wasn't at the rooming house, and nobody there had seen her since mid-afternoon. So Chester and I went back and took a look at her room in the Long Branch. Kitty was right. She'd cleaned out.
Swear to goodness, Mr. Dillon, if this ain't the most upset room...
That's kind of a mess, all right.
Things thrown around every which way. Looks like a cyclone hit it.
Somebody was hunting for something.
Well, you'd think Lily'd know where things was at.
It was somebody else, Chester, after Lily had gone.
Well, where do you think she's gone to, Mr. Dillon?
Well, she bought a railroad ticket to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Night train leaves in half an hour.
Yeah, we better get over to the depot. Come on.
You know, it's kindly hard to think ill of a woman as pretty as Lily. Man just can't hardly help believing anything she wants him to.
Yeah, I know.
Marshal, hey, I'm glad you're here. I was just aiming to send a boy over to tell you.
Tell me what, Will?
Well, about them two. They're here. Miss Lily and that there gambler feller, Deuce McCoy.
Oh?
Yeah, he's the one that brought the trunks in, but part of them's hers. He wasn't fooling me none.
Are they both leaving? Is he going with her?
Well, I reckon so. Bought herself a ticket to Kansas City, same as hers. Didn't pay for it with no banknotes, so he used gold.
Uh-huh. Where are they now, Will?
Well, they've been hanging around down there at the end of the platform. Stayed clear of the light, I figured. Maybe you don't want to draw no attention to themselves. It ain't like Miss Lillian, either. Ordinarily, she'd have herself rigged out fit to kill. Be a strutting around here, bold as grass. But...
What?
That was down the platform.
Yeah, come on, Chester.
Straight ahead, Marshal. There at the end.
Yeah, I see.
Look, Mr. Dillon, somebody jumped on a horse.
Yeah.
Hold it there!
He's getting away. Couldn't have been nothing but plain luck in the dark like this, Mr. Dillon.
I'd have sworn I had him in my sights. So...
Marshal!
Yeah.
It's Miss Lily and that gambler feller. They shot both of them. He's dead.
No. Who was it, Lily? Who shot you?
He came back.
Who?
Jim.
Jim?
I never thought he...
You gonna go after Mr. Dillon?
No, we'll wait till sun up, Chester.
Sun up?
There's no hurry, not now. I got a pretty good idea where Jim will head for.
Dillon, how can you be so doggone certain he's out here somewhere?
Because I know how he thinks, Chester.
I never see such a country. Rimrock, gullies, mesquite, plum thickets. We couldn't find him in this stuff in a month of Sundays.
I think he'll find us.
Oh, dear, I'd as lief you wouldn't talk that way. Mr. Dillon gives a man the willies, knowing all the time there might be a gun sight leveled on him and not knowing just when to shoot.
Well, you know now, Chester.
Hold it. Right where you are.
He's just by that point of rim rock.
Oh, forget it. He's got perfect cover.
That you, Matt?
Yeah, it's me, Jim.
Leave your gun. Come up here. Come alone.
Stay here with the horses, Chester.
Don't do it, Mr. Dillon. You don't know what he's up to.
There's only one way to find out. Here, take my gun.
Well, I just don't like this. I don't.
Over this way, Matt.
Matt, you're a fool. I could have shot you dead.
I was betting you wouldn't.
Why did it have to be you?
That's the difference, Jim. It had been somebody sooner or later.
You knew it was me, or you wouldn't have come here. How did you know, Matt?
Lily told me before she died.
I'm sorry about that, in a way. Last night I went to her room and found she'd taken the money and run out on me. I've been living down along the river bottom since I rode up from El Paso. I was...
What's the matter, Jim?
It was pretty good shooting last night, Matt. Dark as it was.
Well, we better get you in the dock.
No. Forget it, Matt. I know how I stand. Lily never did mean to marry me, man. She told me last night there on the station platform. And then she laughed.
Take it easy, Jim.
She helped me plan that fake robbery in El Paso. She was all for it, I thought. But she was all for the money, not for me. Never known a woman like Lily. All fire and diamonds and soft as a kitten.
Yeah.
You're funny. I know I'd do the same thing again. If she asked me to, what do you think of that?
I'm not your judge, Jim.
Matt, remember the time we rode out of San Antonio and we rode from San Antonio?
Yeah, I remember, Jim. We were planning to ride down to Laredo. Let's see if we could... Jim? Yeah, Jim. I remember.
Moment, our star, William Conrad. When you're at home and use a match to light a cigarette or the stove, what do you do with that match when you're through with it? You make sure it's out, of course. After all, you don't want to have the house burned down. For the same reason, you wouldn't think of leaving the kitchen stove blazing away when you left home. But some of us forget these precautions when we're in the woods. Some folks will stroll through heavily wooded country, light a cigarette, and casually toss the match away without bothering to see if it's out. They'll also toss the cigarette butt away, still burning. And if they've been using a campfire, they may even leave that to smolder. From now on, make yourself a committee of one to help prevent forest fires, because forest fires are usually started by just such carelessness. Whenever you're in the woods or driving past a wooded area, break all matches in two before discarding them. Make sure all smokes are completely out and drown all campfires. Don't leave any sparks behind. They can cost our country millions of dollars in lost timberland. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. And now, William Conrad.
You know, there were rifles of all makes out on the frontier. Springfields, Henrys, Spencers, Colts, Maynards, Enfields, Sharps, even old flintlocks. And next week, a man discovers it doesn't matter what it's fired from. A bullet kills a man awful fast. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lynn Allen, Tim Graham, Lawrence Dobkin, and John Daner. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.